Well, as we have been giving the book of Jeremiah a close listen over the past 8 weeks, we've been paying special attention to the movement of this prophet's ministry and its development against the backdrop of an image of sorts, an image that comes from the prophet's own life and experience and that goes a long way to portray the work that God is up to in this long and painful stretch of Israel's life as a people. That image, of course, has been the image that we picked up at the beginning of this series back in Jeremiah chapter 18, that image that he witnessed when God called him one day to go down to the house of the potter and take a long, hard look at what was happening there. What was happening probably didn't seem all that significant to anyone else at the time. That potter must have been at work at his wheel all day, almost every day. Israel went through a lot of dishes. That potter himself probably didn't think all that much about the significance of what he was doing. Slapping that mud down on the wheel, wetting those hands, getting to work at the spinning in the shaping of a pot or a plate or a jug. And that moment that was probably all too insignificant to him, that moment that the pot lost its shape and he had to crush it in his hands and instantly get back to work immediately on a new one, that moment when he may not have even given a second thought to, turned out to be highly symbolic and highly instructive in light of the work that God was beginning to take part in that land. It's funny. Such a quick and insignificant moment for the potter, shedding its hopeful light on a period in history that would be so arduous for this people. With all of its destruction, that it portended, as well as all of the painstaking reforming at the wheel that would soon start to take shape, God was sitting down at a wheel of his own, Jeremiah was allowed to understand, and that was a good and hopeful sign of what was soon to come. Even though so much of what Jeremiah and his generation experienced of that was just mainly the crushing as well as the shaping. We've seen how challenging that was for the prophet himself to follow a call that would have him spending most of his life tearing down and plucking up. We've seen how difficult that was for this people to which the challenge was issued to stop drinking from those cracked cisterns and to start pursuing the fountain of living water. We've seen them face their present in view of their history. The Shilohs that spoke so loudly of what was coming if they wouldn't reform. We've walked with them through their tragedies and seen the beginnings of a pot being remade. As they, in their devastation, were called to stop being a people that took God for granted and start being the people that lived deeply on the basis of a promise of God's intentions for the good. Even Jeremiah himself buys the field of as a sign of his intentions to live in that hope. We've seen also that living in the midst of that pottery being remade is painful, difficult work. It involves suffering. It involves suffering because the world isn't where it's supposed to be just yet. And Jeremiah's call is to live in that tension and with his life suffer with the world's change as it labors slow and long. I believe that there could hardly be a better book or a better figure to teach the people of God today how to truly live in hope. how to live through the shaping and the reshaping that's always taking place at God's pottery wheel. But most especially through times of significant change and transition. It's not painless. It's not painless, hands-off work to live as God calls us to live through such times. Even though the work is God's work, ultimately, the struggle is shared. The struggle is shared, and the suffering and the challenge of the callings for those times so often land on our doorsteps. These are not the times that God tells us to sit back. No. They are the times when God calls us to lean in to what God is doing, to take part in God's ongoing creative work. Jeremiah has a lot to teach us about what it is to lean into that work. Today's word retells the story from the other side of history, so to speak. The promise and the reshaping have taken fuller form. Jeremiah 31 is one of the most burstingly joyful and hopeful portions of this book. Listen again to what he said this morning. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. They have felt and known that God has loved them with an everlasting love. The building begins again with a shovel in one hand and a tambourine in the other. God is gathering from the north, from Babylon, the blind and the lame, those with child. They're returning. They're coming back from afar. With weeping, they shall come, he says. Their grace has finally arrived. This actually happened. They actually did return. Jerusalem really was rebuilt. Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine those tears of joy? The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. There's no teaching that's going to happen here anymore. No longer will they teach each other or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me already. From the least to the greatest, for I will forgive all of their iniquity and remember their sin no more. They will all know me. It will be written on their heart. The image that I chose this morning to go along with my sermon is an image of the word life in Hebrew, written upon a heart. Chai. In Hebrew, life, written upon a heart. God has written life on this people's heart and told them to live with God's covenant written there, where it cannot break like a stone tablet or be broken like a thing we've neglected to read. It's written upon the heart. This people that had been taken away in shambles and brought back, restored with a covenant life, written on their hearts. They've suffered through the ashes. They've been reborn and given a fresh new start. Look at what God can do with a people with a heart that's been reshaped to live forward in hope. It cannot have been easy. Just because their heart has been made ready and prepared didn't mean that the work ahead of them would be any less hard. There would still have been many, many ruins to rebuild. Many, many institutions to rethink. Much on the groundwork to get going on before home felt like home again. Not easy, no. But work like that is somehow different, I think, when you set about it with a different sort of heart. Israel had seen the very worst, remember? Homes burned, cities flattened, a whole people carried away into exile. Their hope and their work had begun to take form and take shape in literal ashes. Maybe that's how God creates a living heart out of a complacent and wayward one. But now, he says, this covenant that I'm going to make with my people isn't going to be like the old one that they just forgot and broke. This one I'm going to etch onto their very hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. What does that mean? Do you think that God is going to write in their very heart? It must mean, I think, that he wants them to carry it around with them. It must mean that he wants them to have constant, continual access to it. It must mean that this thing that's written there, whatever it is going to be somewhere, somehow, at the root of it all. The base of how they learn to operate. It's written deep in there. It's etched upon the thing that's pumping out blood to all those other parts of the body, their limbs and their extremities. Maybe now God's covenant with this people, their hope, their life, won't just be a second level consideration, but a first principle of their life. Good thing it's written there. They're going to need it there for the work that's about to commence, especially if they're going to rebuild this nation of theirs well. That's a thought. Maybe a big part of the reason for a heart that's inscribed like that is to help shape the work that's about to get moving, to make sure that it's God's work. To make certain that it's work done in faith and that's working toward the promise. Now there's a thought. Israel has had quite the transformation through the course of this book, quite the breaking and quite the building back. And not just a physical breaking of houses and towns, but a spiritual and emotional breaking and rebuilding as well. But the thing is, only now can they rebuild well. Only now do they truly know what it is to build in hope. Only now do they know what it is to build as they carry with them these new hearts of theirs. I wonder how that translates into the present day. In many ways, of course, we too, as a church, are trying to learn what it is to re-enter a land after a major event and rebuild. And not just us, but the entire church, really, all the way across the globe. The world has changed significantly. We're not just going to be able to settle down in old ruins and have that be successful for today's world of ministry. That's not just true for this church, it's true for the whole denomination. We're beginning a fall stewardship campaign this week, and somehow this one is different from many of the ones we've done in the past. This one is different in my mind, I think, because there's a real sense that there's going to have to be some real faith, some real imagination, and real rebuilding for a much different world that goes along with this one and that reaches its needs. With this campaign, I think it's useful and not inappropriate to imagine ourselves in a somewhat similar situation to those Israelites returning to their own homeland. What are we called to be now? How do we go forward in faith together into this new environment? How do we do that in faith? With God's promise of life written on our hearts so that we can get to work in a new and creative way. How can we be co-creators in God's work together so that we can get our hands dirty in the work that God has for us? Today's crop walk is a part of that, but there is so, so much more to do. And yet, I believe that we are just like Israel in being spoken to here today in one incredibly significant way. We are a people upon whose hearts God has gotten to work, aren't we? We are a people on whose hearts God has done some inscribing. Now is our time. That molding and inscribing work is not for nothing. It's for the rebuilding. It's for the rebuilding. For the time when God would have us put those hearts to work in creating the new world that God would have us to build. And all of God's people said, Amen.